All the brothers can kindly come to the front, inshallah, due to rain. To make place for those who are coming in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa amma ba'd. Faqad qala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi al-Qur'an al-Majid. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل رجب قال اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, brothers, ulama ikram, when there happens to be a major occasion in any person's life, then from long in advance he starts preparing for the occasion. He awaits this occasion with great excitement, with great zeal, great enthusiasm. If a person is getting married, from long in advance he prepares for the moment of his nikah. If a student is graduating, for months in advance he is preparing to ensure his graduation goes well. Likewise, even if a person is embarking on a business venture, he will consult widely, he will have his business plan in place. He won't leave anything for the last minute. Even a person going on a holiday, he will ensure everything is booked from very long in advance. He won't leave anything for the last minute to see what happens. A believer, one who has iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who believes in the finality of the messengerhood, the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one who understands the temporary nature of this life, the deceptive nature of this world, for him the greatest preparation, the greatest occasions in his life are those occasions which grant him an opportunity to increase his investments in the akhirah. All those occasions which grant him closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the greatest occasions in such a person's life. And these are the occasions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to prepare for. 2 months before the advent of Ramadan, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi rajabin wa sha'ban. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua that, O Allah, grant us barakah in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, and ensure we reach the month of Ramadan. Why was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making this dua? To teach you and I, to teach the entire ummah till the day of Qiyamah, the type of zeal and enthusiasm that should be created in one for the month of Ramadan. From how long in advance one should be preparing for the advent of the month of Ramadan. And for a person to benefit from any occasion, he has to understand what is the object of the occasion. What are we supposed to be planning for? What are we supposed to be working towards for 2 months in advance? When the month of Ramadan comes, what do we make out of this month? What do we achieve from this month? If a person embarks on a business venture and his plan, his purpose is to entertain his friends who come to visit him, then before he has embarked on this venture, he has failed. His business will not be profitable, but he will attain his objective. His friends will be entertained. Or an example many of us can relate to, if a person has to go for Umrah, the first time in his life he has been blessed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him. He is visiting the holy lands, the Mubarak lands of Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. And such a person on his return, it is inquired of him, how was your Umrah? How many tawaf did you make? How was it when you presented yourself before Rahmatul Lil Alameen, before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And what does he reply? That I had dedicated my time, dedicated the strip to engage in excessive ibadat. I spend the nights in lengthy rakats of salah. I spend the day completing many khatams of the Quran, engaging in various different types of adhkar. So what will be said of such a person? That he went to Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. Perhaps this is the only opportunity in his life to visit these Mubarak lands. But he didn't perform Umrah, he didn't present himself before the Mubarak Qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the person with the least amount of intelligence will understand the foolishness of this person. So this is the example of many of us. This month of Ramadan comes, we engage in abundant ibadat. We stand up in the Taraweeh Salah at night. Perhaps we wake up extra early in the morning to engage in a few rakats of Tahajjud Salah. We complete many khatams of the Quran. We engage in abundant adhkar. The purpose and the object of Ramadan misses us. We do not even know what is the purpose, what is the object of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ سِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. That many a person fasts, he keeps fast the entire day, but all he attains through his fast is a lack of food. There is nothing more than that than he attains. وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا سَهَرٌ. And likewise, many a person exerts himself in ibadat, in salah, but he doesn't attain anything from his exertion in ibadat except a lack of sleep. So what is the purpose of Ramadan? Some will take it to be a time of entertainment, a time of having parties. So he will achieve his object, he will have his parties, he will enjoy his entertainment for those few minutes. But what should we make the object of Ramadan? What should we achieve after this exercise of fasting, this for the 30 days of Ramadan, after this exercise of engaging in ibadat, in tilawa of the Quran Sharif, engaging in ibadat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself informs us what the object should be, what should always be in front of a person, what should be on the person's mind at every moment. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the object that what one should achieve once the month of Ramadan passes is to attain this wealth of taqwa. To understand what is taqwa, in very, very simply, it is a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an intimate relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To understand this, if a person is to give a gift to someone who he loves, someone who he has some muhabbat for, then he will purchase the gift, he will wrap it up very nicely, he will present it in a very good manner. It could be that his friend is not even in need of the gift, he has much more than him, but it is the feeling in his heart behind giving this gift. His friend will receive it also in a very good manner, he will appreciate the gift. But the same person, if he has to give some handout, some hamper, or he has to give a few rands to a bear, this feeling is not found behind it. He doesn't wrap it up in the same way. He doesn't present it in the same manner. What is the difference? In both cases, a gift is being given, but the difference is the feeling of the heart, the connection between the hearts. So this should be our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once we have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once we have a plan how we will work towards attaining this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will grant us tawfiq to work towards it. If a person has a plan to read two juz of the Quran every day, then Allah will give him tawfiq, he will read more than that. If he has intention to wake up a few minutes early to perform two rakats tahajjud salah before sahri, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him tawfiq. Perhaps he will perform even more salah than he had intended. But we should not restrict Ramadan to these ibadat. We should not restrict Ramadan to tilawah of the Quran Sharif, to fasting during the day, to performing tahajjud salah, performing taraweeh salah at night. Yes, these ibadat are an object of the month of Ramadan. But what should be achieved behind it? We should not miss out on the object of performing these ibadat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts ibadat, only accepts a person's action if a person has taqwa in his life. The same object of the month of Ramadan is to attain taqwa. If we do not have this taqwa, then all our ibadat which we engage in is at risk. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, Umar the second, he had written to his governors on one occasion that I advise you to hold on to taqwa, without which no good deed is accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't show mercy to a person who doesn't adopt taqwa in his life. And if a person doesn't have taqwa, then he has no thawab, no reward for any action which he engages in. And he ended off this letter that there are many who preach taqwa, but there are very few who practice upon it. This was in the golden era, the era of the tabi'een, tab'u tabi'een. At that time he is saying that there are many who preach it, but there are very few who adopt taqwa. We should reflect that what is the state of my life? Have I adopted taqwa? Have I made it my object behind my ibadat? Hazrat Amir bin Abdullah rahimahullah, when the time of his demise drew close, then his family members observed that he was crying. He was shedding tears at the time of his death. So they inquired of him that what an envious life you had lived. You dedicated your life to ibadat. You had engaged in so much ibadat during your life. So what reduces you to tears at this time of your life when you are going to meet your beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What was his reply? The same ayah. It is this ayah which reduces me to tears. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if I enjoyed this gift of taqwa, if I had this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whether my actions were accepted depends on this taqwa. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if my actions were accepted. So the big question is for you and I, have I intended to attain taqwa? Have I made it my purpose, my goal behind my ibadat in this month? What intention did I make? That this taqwa which should carry me for the next 11 months of the year, have I intended to attain it? Have I started working towards it? This ibadah is a close connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are the means to adopt this taqwa? Ulama explained that the first thing a person should do, the thing which will help a person the most to attain taqwa, is to engage in the recitation of the tilawa of the Quran Sharif. If a person wants to test his level of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should test his level of connection with the Quran Sharif. How much does he respect the Quran? How much time does he dedicate to the Quran? How much of the Quran does he understand? How much of the Quran does he recite? Then this person will not look for the fastest taraweeh, so he can get done with this ritual of performing taraweeh. But the taraweeh salah will be a means of attaching a person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be a means of strengthening a person's bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will increase a person's taqwa. When the taraweeh is being recited, هَذَا كَلَامُ رَبِّي, these are the words of me Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he will look for the most beautiful taraweeh, no matter how long it takes. This month of Ramadan was the month which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had selected for the Quran Sharif. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan to the Lawhi Mahfuz, and in over a period of 23 years it was sent down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during this month of Ramadan, he would recite the entire Quran Sharif to Jibreel alayhi salam. He would do door of the Quran with Jibreel alayhi salam. It is narrated regarding Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an, that out of the month of Ramadan, once a week he would complete a khatam of the Quran every 7 days, and in the month of Ramadan every 3 days he would complete a khatam of the Quran. And it is narrated regarding Imam Malik rahimahullah that when the month of Ramadan approached, يَفِرُّ مِنْ قِرَاءَةِ الْحَدِيثِ وَمُجَالَسَةِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ, that when the month of he had dedicated his life to the different sciences of deen, to hadith, to the Quran. But when the month of Ramadan approached, he would distance himself from the gatherings of knowledge, from the gatherings of hadith. يَفِرُّ مِنْ قِرَاءَةِ الْحَدِيثِ وَمُجَالَسَةِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ وَأَقْبَلَ عَلَى تِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ مِنَ الْمُصْحَفِ. And he would dedicate the month of Ramadan to reciting the Quran Sharif while looking into the Mus'haf. It is narrated regarding Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah that every night out of the month of Ramadan, he would complete a khatam of the Quran. Once the month of Ramadan entered, he would complete one khatam of the Quran during the day, one khatam of the Quran at night. In this way, he would complete 60 khatams of the Quran in the month of Ramadan. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, he would lead his students in Taraweeh Salah in the month of Ramadan, and he would read approximately 20 ayat in every rakat. That's roughly double what we recite in every rakat. So in the Taraweeh, he would complete 2 khatams of the Quran. Then every three nights in Tahajjud Salah, he would complete a khatam of the Quran. And the remaining portion of the day, he would complete 1 khatam of the Quran. This is how the Salaf, our pious predecessors, dedicated the month of Ramadan to tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Hazrat Mawlana Raipuri rahimahullah, when the month of Ramadan approached, he would remain busy in the recitation of the Quran the entire day and the entire night. Only his very close acquaintances were allowed to sit with him for a few minutes while he drank a cup of tea. And it is mentioned regarding Hazrat Shaykh rahimahullah, he mentions regarding the women folk of his family that with all the other daily chores, their responsibilities, they would still recite 15 to 20 paras of the Quran every day. And right up till our time, there are many who recite a complete khatam of the Quran during the day with all the other responsibilities, with their very busy lifestyles, they still manage to recite a complete khatam of the Quran every day. And to increase the effectiveness of this tilawa of Quran Sharif in creating a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in creating taqwa, some portion of the Quran has to be read every day with tadabbur, with tafakkur, with pondering over the meaning of the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ. Allah says, we reveal these ayat of the Quran Sharif. What is the purpose behind revealing it? لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ, so that you may ponder over the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah mentions under the tafsir of this ayah that it is necessary for every person to have some type of understanding of the Quran Sharif. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had mentioned on one occasion to his students that I prefer reciting Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, which is approximately four juz, four paras of the Quran, with tadabbur, with tafakkur, with pondering over the words of meaning of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I prefer reciting these four juz than reciting the entire Quran. A student mentioned to Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that I complete a khatam of the Quran in 3 days. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu replied, I prefer reciting the Quran slowly in such a manner that I only recite Surah Baqarah instead of reciting the 10 juz of the Quran which you recite every night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complains in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا, that do they not ponder over the Quran? Do they not reflect on the words which I had sent down to them? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا, or are there locks over their hearts which prevent them from understanding my words, which prevent them from pondering and thinking over the meanings of the ayat which I have revealed to them? Hazrat Mawlana Thanwi rahimahullah had written that if people accustom themselves to pondering, to thinking, to reflecting, then they won't experience any difficulty, because through pondering, through reflecting, through muraqabah, through tadabbur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's doors of mercy open one after the other. So such a person will not experience any difficulty in his life. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had spent the entire night reciting one ayah, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited one ayah of the Quran the entire night. We would recite a few juz, a few paras of the Quran without any pondering, without concentration. Yes, this is necessary to recite Quran while looking into the mushaf, but it is also necessary to dedicate a few minutes to understand, even if it is one or two ayat of the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent the night conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through one ayah of the Quran, making dua for you and I, for his ummah till the day of Qiyamah, from one ayat of the Quran Sharif. So the second way through which we can attain this taqwa, attain this connection and link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is through nawafil salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in a hadith Qudsi, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبُّهُ. Allah says, a person continues gaining closeness to me. He continues getting closer and closer to me through the performance of nawafil salah. So after performing our fard, our sunnah, a person should perform a few rakats, even if it is a few rakats of nawafil. Ideally, the person should perform his tahajjud salah, ishraq, awabin, chast. But even if a person performs a few rakats of nawafil every day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ, that my servant draws so close to me through nawafil, حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. Allah says, until I declare my love for such a person. And that is the object of the month of Ramadan, to love Allah, to develop this love and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third means by which we can develop this closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through dawam al-dhikr, through constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through being constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being constantly aware of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our tongue needs to be kept moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But dhikr is not confined to our tongue being moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart also needs to be free of any type of evil thought. The heart needs to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is fantasizing, if he has clean food in his plate, and together with that he is putting feces in his plate, then what will be said of such a plate? Will a person consume the food in such a plate? So if we are trying to bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart, and together with that we fantasize of different evil, we make different evil plans in our mind, then how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to such a heart? So our heart should always be pondering over the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the various bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us. And dhikr also includes our daily actions being in accordance to the Quran, to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every moment of a person's life, the person has to ponder that what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala require of me? What is my duty at this time in my life, at this moment of my life? This is also included in dhikr. So when we give preference to the desires of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over our desires, We trample the desires of our nafs for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this is how we will build our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter the heart. If a person was to utter a few words, if he wants to say something, if he wants to think of something, then he first thinks that, what does may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say regarding this? Am I allowed to do it? Does may Allah want me to engage in this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَيْسَ يَتَحْسَرُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عَلَى سَاعَةٍ مَرَّتْ بِهِمْ لَمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِيهِ. That on the day of Qiyamah, when a person enters Jannah, there is no sadness, no grief in Jannah. A person only enjoys the ni'mats, the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there will be one form of grief, one form of regret a person will have. Even when a person is in Jannah, إِلَّا عَلَى سَاعَةٍ مَرَّتْ بِهِمْ, the person will grieve over that moment of his life, لَمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِيهِ. That moment of his life when a person did not engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will bring grief to a person even in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That, O believers, do not allow your wealth and your family chasing after the material belongings of this world, fulfilling the responsibilities, the person's needs, taking care of his family. Do not allow this to divert you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Those who let their worldly belongings, their wealth, their family, divert them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. They are the greatest losers on the day of Qiyamah. So if we start now, we still have a few days remaining. We start now putting some plan into place, if we have not already done so, that how we will engage in the ibadat of Allah, how many rakats of tahajjud we will make, how many rakats of nawafil salah we will engage in, how much tilawat of the Quran we will engage in, how many minutes a day we will engage in tafakkur and tadabbur, opening a reliable tafsir of the Quran and pondering over the meanings of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or sitting down with some alim, asking him to explain to us the meaning of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then inshallah there is still some hope, there is still half the month of Ramadan remaining, through which we can gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith it is mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed up the stairs of the minbar, and he said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Thrice he repeated Ameen. So when he had descended later, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu inquired of him, that it was not your normal practice to recite Ameen when you ascend the minbar. So what was this? We observed something very strange. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that while I was ascending the minbar, Jibreel alayhi salam had come to me and he had cursed three types of people, three categories of people. The first among them was that person who witnesses the month of Ramadan and his sins are not forgiven. This month of Ramadan, as we understand it to be the month of Quran, this month should be dedicated to the tilawah of the Quran. Likewise, the month of Ramadan is a month of tawbah and istighfar, a month of cleansing ourselves from all the sins which we engage in throughout the remaining 11 months of the year. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who witnesses the month of Ramadan and he doesn't gain the maghfirah, the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed such a person. Jibreel alayhi salam cursed the person and he instructed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kul Ameen. Jibreel alayhi salam instructed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to curse such a person who witnesses the month of Ramadan and he doesn't earn forgiveness and maghfirah for his sins. If a person is to think about it, rahmatul lil alameen, that being who was sent as a mercy to mankind, he is cursing a person. But it is not far-fetched to imagine this month of Ramadan. Every moment is a very special moment, a moment to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is abstaining from food and drink the entire day. He is standing up for a lengthy period at night to engage in Taraweeh Salah. But if this does not earn him the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he doesn't seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these actions do not turn his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person is so wretched that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam curses such a person. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to value these remaining few days which are left of the month of Ramadan, to put some plan into place, to keep this object in front of us, that our object is to attain taqwa, to set our GPS, to set our goal correctly, our end destination correctly, so we can make an effort and work towards it. Because if we do not understand and recognize what's our goal, if our object is not always in front of us, then this month of Ramadan could pass and the curse of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could be upon a person, because his attention was never diverted from the world, from his normal daily life, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to practice upon what it means. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi.